tonight. This might sound like a strange place to talk about flowers, but it's a perfect place to talk about this particular one. Tonight I would like to talk to you about a flower that gets in your yard that you think is a pest and a nuisance. The dandelion. Yeah. All right. We have some slides to go with this, so Ricky doesn't usually do a PowerPoint presentation because that means I have to stand in one place and read something. So we'll start off with the first one. The reason I call this the Dandelion Christian is because just the other day I was out painting and working around the yard, and I looked out in the stones, the sure pack out there in the parking lot, and I saw what I thought I was going to go get, a little gallon of Roundup, and take care of some things that are growing where they ought not to. And that was when I sensed the Lord told me, don't kill it, talk about it. And for the next 2 days, while I was on my knees painting the foundation, this little parable came. And so with that in mind, let's go to the first slide. And there, on the outside looking at that, you would think, what can grow in nothing but stones that are 8 inches deep and there hasn't been a lot of rain that stayed to water much of anything? And the Lord began to show me some scriptures that went with these photographs. So I began to take some, and scriptures came with them. The one that came with us was 2 Corinthians 5:7, and it says, the path we walk is charted by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. The parable is this. We're going to use this to describe a person, or a believer, if you will. Outwardly, many times, you can't tell by looking at a person outwardly what's really going on inside. And you might think, man, that's the last person I'd ever think would get saved. They got a heart like a rock, a mouth like a gutter, and talk like parrots and pirates. And we just can't get into that, you know, because I don't know if Jesus could save that person or not. And so they move by what they see outwardly rather than being able to see inwardly. So all the while I'm looking at that parking lot, I'm getting a picture about what's going on underneath. Okay, Tom, go ahead. Aha. One seed is all it takes from a dandelion to fill your neighbor's yard. But the Lord showed me that this is what He desires in our lives, that we become infectious. We should be like the devil's worst disease and infect our neighbors and infect our neighborhoods and infect our communities. One seed. This is the seed. This is the scripture. 1 Peter 1:23. You have been reborn, or born again, not from seed that eventually dies, but from seed that is eternal, through the word of God that lives and endures forever. Don't be fooled by what that one little seed can do. And don't be fooled and don't be deceived in what that one little seed, the word of God, can do in a person's life, in a person's heart. They might look like that parking lot out there, but oh, just think what that one little seed can do. The power that it has. All of the DNA of Christ is in that seed. Okay, Tom? I won't be long. That's what's going on under the ground that you can't see. Did you ever pull up a dandelion and see how much of it stayed in the ground?
That's right.
That's why. Did you ever try to move a mature Christian off their faith and they won't budge?
Amen.
That's because there's something going on down beneath where you can't see. Because you got roots. And you got root that produce good fruit. And that root is not going to be budged. mean, I was out there with my putty knife trying to pop them up away from the side of the fence of the wall out there so I could paint it. And I was amazed at the size and the length of those roots. Some of those had one blossom, but the roots went down 8 and 10 inches, and they were all branched out just like that. Under high magnification, you can see that root structure. And so that's the root from that one little seed, called the Word of God that is sown in a person's heart. And when it falls on good soil, and you can't tell outwardly how good the soil is, because unless the Lord shows you a person's heart, you can't see what's going on in there. And you may not see anything above the ground, but below the ground, you see, we're coming into spring now, and this whole thing is about springing forth into newness of life, isn't it? Newness of life in each one of us. And it isn't always a seed of salvation. It could be a seed of healing. It could be a seed of deliverance. It could be a seed of joy, a seed of hope, a seed of promise, a seed of reconciliation, a seed of bringing rusted relationships, broken relationships back together again. Must be that funny thing sticking there messing up my speech. All right, let's go on to the next slide. Number 3. Oh, we're on 4 already. Wow. We got to go back to 3. I'm sorry. I should be watching the video with you guys. All right. For this reason, this is James chapter 5 and verse 7. For this reason, my brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the return of the Lord. Look, the farmer knows how to wait patiently for the land to produce vegetables and fruit. He cannot harvest a freshly planted seed. Instead, what does he do? He waits for the early and the late showers to nourish the soil. The former and the latter rain. You see, when you did that song, I knew this was for tonight. Okay? The farmer, I've never seen a... We have a lot of cornfields out here, and a lot of people have gardens, but never have I ever seen a farmer go out, plow his field, put some of that nice fresh dairy air on it that you smell that floats through the windows about this time of the year, okay? Fertilizes the seed, and does he go back out with his tractor and dig up all those seeds to see if they're growing? Why doesn't he? Because he has patience. He has endurance, and he waits for the spring rains, and then it dries out during the summer, and in the fall, the local stories are around here that most people's corn should be up 2 feet high by the 4th of July. And so something goes on under the ground with those roots, and the farmer watches over those seeds with faith, waiting for that precious thing to burst through the ground. And just like you, whatever you're holding on to, whatever you're waiting, whatever miracle, whatever hope you have going on the inside of you, it just needs a little rain. It just needs a little rain, you know? And the root's already there. The sucker's already started. And it's just going to pop through the soil. Okay, now we're ready for the next slide. Yeah, look at that beauty. Right out there in the same parking lot, and I was ready to put the Roundup to it and kill it before it got into the lawn. That was before I had all of the stuff that went with it. And sometimes we want to do that. Yep, and sometimes somebody we really liked a lot got saved before we were, and we didn't know what to do with them. We thought they were cuckoo whacked off the wall, and they ought to be just taken out in the woods someplace and left with the critters. Come on, you all know you had a friend like that, at least one, that tormented you until you got saved. You haven't lived yet. You know, and that's like a dandelion. But you know, there it is. Now there's 4 blossoms on that huge root. Now let's see what happens with those 4 little blossoms. Ephesians 3:17 tells us, so that through faith the anointed one will reside in their hearts. And may they live where their lives take root. May it be the bedrock where their lives are formed. That's very important. I used the voice. That's not usually a translation that I would normally use for these, but I knew there might be some little ones among us tonight. And y'all seen dandelions, but I wanted scriptures that even you could understand. So forgive me, you, my older brothers and sisters, for these words, because, you know, God wants all of us to walk away from here tonight having a clue as to why we're here and what His plan is for our lives, and how the dandelion is going to be very representative of the life of a Christian in so many more ways. If you break off a stalk, you know, that milk that comes out and stains you and it gets all black, well, that's like the blood of Jesus. Once you bust open the blood of Jesus, it just covers you forever. You can't wash it away. That's not in my notes, but it was just spontaneous. But it's true. If you damage that stalk, it bleeds. And that blood covers whatever was under it. Next slide, please. Number 5. Look what one blossom. There are literally hundreds of seeds from that one blossom. You know, God's into reproduction. God's into multiplying. God's into abounding. God's into increase. One blossom will produce hundreds of those little seeds. Can you imagine how many that those four blossoms are going to produce? And each one of those seeds are like the word of God sown in another person's heart. Each seed has everything that plant will ever become, wherever it's taken and finds root, and it will produce exactly everything within that seed that plant will ever be. It's all programmed inside, like that's what DNA is. It's the program, it's the life pattern, and it will become whatever's in the seed. And it's the same with you and I. Whatever the seed of the Spirit is sown in your life, it's going to grow and it's going to produce and it's going to multiply and it's going to have all the DNA of Christ in it. So be of good cheer. Don't judge one another. Don't get critical. Don't slap each other around saying you ought to be here and you walk. No, that's where the seed is. And everything's in the seed. Don't worry about it. Take care of your seed. Don't worry about somebody else's, okay? Okay? All right, let's see. What word do we have with this one? I am the vine, you are the branches. You see how those seeds are clustered right to where the blossom was? You see the pattern of the believer clutching on to Christ because He's the vine, and where the branches were like those seeds. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Without me, you will accomplish nothing. Those seeds weren't put there by God just to sit there and hug the vine all day and say, oh, I worship you, vine. You're a wonderful vine. You're just a lovely vine. And you're a beautiful vine. And oh, I could just hug a vine tonight. It's so divine. And you could make a rhyme, you know? But there's more to life than that. There's more to these meetings than that. But this is going to get us started. Okay? Next one. Number 6, there we are. And look at what happens when a little wind takes that seed and carries it. Can you imagine what a little Holy Spirit wind is going to do when it blows on the seed in your heart? You see, there is no measure, there is no distance, there is no time where the wind of the Spirit will carry you or the seed that you speak when you sow the word. Whenever you go, everywhere you go, you bring His presence with you, just like that seed. Each one of those seeds are leaving the vine, and they got a call from God. It's time to go. You can't sit here in the chicken house. You got to go out and lay an egg somewhere. Okay? You know, be fruitful and multiply. Isn't that what God told us? In so many terms. So what do we got to do? All right, let's see. Number 6, the wind blows. This is something Jesus said about the Spirit. See if you can relate to this. The wind blows all around us as if it has a will of its own. We feel it, we hear it, but we do not understand where it has come from or where it will end up. life in the Spirit is as if it were the wind of God. When you think about, we're called as believers to be attentive to the Spirit, to listen to the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, to obey the Spirit. And wherever, he's like the wind with a seed. Wherever the Spirit calls upon us to go, we shouldn't question which way the wind's blowing. We should just go with the flow. Carl and I, honestly, we were almost laughing about this on the phone because we were going to do these meetings together, and neither of us really had a clue which way the wind was going to blow. We just knew it was going to blow. So we brought a dandelion to illustrate this very thing. And it's precious because it has eternal worth and value, and the thing that most of us would just trample or throw or kill. And there are people that would like to do that to us as believers. They just want to get rid of us. You know? But there's a lot of ramifications to this teaching that go beyond what I will spend the next few minutes talking about, but I think you're beginning to kind of get the gist of the dandelion Christian. You see, it all starts with that seed. Number 7. Talk about multiplying. See what you can do when the Spirit carries you and you do what the Spirit says to do? What happens to the seed? It multiplies, doesn't it? And listen to this. This is from the sower, the parable of the sower and the seed. I wanted to do the whole parable, but it's very, very lengthy. And for me, the way I break Scripture down, you probably would be booking your hotel for another month, probably, at the minimum. So we're going to fast forward, and I'll read this. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. The things that are yet, that the Spirit of God wants to work in our lives, we see a little glimpse now. And we see where he's been. And we see where he is. But none of us really has any idea in our natural thinking of that which is yet to come in the Spirit. Because as this world gets darker, we get what? We get brighter, don't we? And it's not because we put a 100-watt bulb in instead of a 25. It's just that we've always been bright, although some people might question that. But when darkness is dark, that light begins to get brighter. And we affect many, many people. Each life in this room affects others. There's a ripple effect. Just like that one seed that turned into four blossoms, that turned into literally thousands of seeds that set life to an entire field. And now, do the math, if each one of those blossoms produce all of those seeds, it just keeps multiplying. And that's God's plan for us, is that we multiply, that we are ones who represent truth and righteousness in our nation into the world. Starting at home, starting in our neighborhood, starting in our communities. And I know it seems like it's hard plowing sometimes, but be remembering of that little dandelion out there in that stone parking lot. In fact, tomorrow I can go show you the four that I took the photo of. I didn't kill it. It's still there. So I come to several conclusions which I will draw from these. One seed fell in a seemingly unlikely place. The person that you thought you would never see get saved, suddenly a new life has sprung up in a most unlikely place. I never thought that person would get saved. I spent the last 40 years witnessing to that person, and I never thought, because you're supposed to do that in faith. But sometimes we're not patient. I mean, you can grow dandelions in a greenhouse and they might grow a little quicker, but in the natural sense, life has a cycle. And God's Spirit goes in cycles. The Spirit works in cycles with our lives. We go through seasons just like nature. And the Spirit is continuously working. And when you don't think anything's happening, you think about that root. Okay? All right? It took root and produced one plant with four blossoms. Each of the four blossoms produced hundreds of new seeds combined. the wind carried each of those seeds which fell and produced thousands of new plants. Conclusion, never make the mistake of judging another's heart by what you see outwardly. Each new life starts with a single seed with all the Christ-like potential already in it. So be that dandelion Christian. Nothing is impossible with God.